This is the Rick Stacy Morning Show with Jill and Smokestack. Having fun with a world gone crazy.
All right, here we go.
Papa's got a brand new bag. It's a man's world.
The update is brought to you by Fair and Fair. Your headphones broken again?
Nah, it's in and out.
No, okay. Rick's in charge of the master knob, and you have a secondary knob.
She knows that. It's not that crappy headphones. Jill is out today. That's why my wife is struggling with Jill's headphones.
Oh, yeah, because she uses Harold's old headphones from back when Harold and I used to have a show together.
Jill, you need to invest in your career and get some headphones from this decade, okay? So Zelensky says Ukraine is ready to implement the partial ceasefire. Russia has agreed tentatively. There's a few other things they got to work out, like, you know, nuclear power plant, that sort of stuff.
Man.
Just minor things.
President Putin issued an order within 10 minutes of his call with the president, directing Russian forces not to be attacking any Ukrainian energy infrastructure. And any attacks that happened last night would have happened before that order was given. In fact, the Russians tell me this morning that 7 of their drones were on their way when President Putin issued his order, and they were shot down by Russian forces. So I tend to believe that President Putin is operating in good faith.
So there's actually Democrats angry that Trump could stop this war.
Now, why would you be upset by that?
They're for violence against Tesla, shooting cars. They don't stand up for a little kid that has cancer. The list goes on and on and on. It's anything Trump is for, they're against. It's oppositional disorder. It is the craziest thing I've ever seen. And it's who was that said we're going to have mass psychosis? That was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
That at some point we reached the point, it's the tipping point, where the liberals in our country would meet, we would be like a mass, all together now, psycho explosion.
Psycho explosion.
That's my term. Don't steal it.
I like it.
All right. You know who we haven't heard from in a long time?
Who?
Our own governor.
Oh! Here comes Governor Hot Wife. Here comes Governor Hot Wife. Here comes Governor Hot Wife. She's so hot you can't deny.
Yeah, I miss the guy. He's lost a lot of weight.
He looks good, though.
Yeah, he looks good. You know, he was on with Jesse Waters, and Jesse asked him some questions. And the first question was his take on how Florida residents think about shipping out TDA violent gang members. Remember that judge tried to make those planes turn around when they were on their way to El Salvador. And of course, if you watch the media, Trump is a lawbreaker because he sent murderous gangsters over to El Salvador rather than keeping them here because they deserve to be here. They rape children. They murder. They do good things for our country. So they should stay here. That evil Trump. He's the one that should get on the plane and go to El Salvador to the mega muddy prison. So anyway, here's DeSantis talking about
that. We have a very strong Venezuelan American population down in South Florida, and they've been for many years during Biden's whole open borders. They were the ones warning about the people that Venezuela was sending. Those are people that were in the prisons. These were very problematic individuals. Heck, when we did the first flight to Martha's Vineyard, most of those were Venezuelans. People thought the Venezuelan Americans in Florida were going to be upset. They were very happy with that because they knew what was going on. So President Trump's doing the right thing. And, you know, when I hear these sound bites of these legacy media apparatchiks comparing these Venezuelan gang members to Irish immigrants from the 19th century. And I'm just thinking, legacy media, maybe they should just shut down and start over because what they're doing is just such a fraud and the public does not believe a word they say anymore.
Apparatchiks. I got a new word for my vocabulary. Apparatchiks. I love that. So, yeah, so we had, you know, this all started a week ago. Judge James Boasberg of the United States District Court of the District of Columbia tried to get the president to stop sending violent, murderous, child raping gang members that already did violence here in the United States in states like Colorado that already are convicted felons from Venezuela. that Venezuela tossed out, told them to go to the United States. They welcome you with open arms. They're trying to block that from happening. Now, my wife brought up the point that this could be down the road. This could be using that, what is it called? The
Alien Enemies Act.
The Alien Enemies Act from 1787 could be a bad thing down the road because then, you know, some president decides he doesn't like, you know, smokestack. He could just ship him out. But, and that's understood. But at the same time, hey, come on.
And the president has the executive authority to deport dangerous people out of our country.
But so, it's just, I think it's the vague language, like define invasion.
Well, they need to fix that.
You know?
But I think this met the definition of what's the word they use, the terminology was
predatory incursion.
Predatory incursion, because they were ordered by their government in so many words. I mean, again, it's not an official military order, but it was like, go there and do what you want, but just get out of my country from Venezuela. And they come here and they do what they want and they do bad, bad things. And, you know, the Biden administration was like, what's a murder or child rape here and there? I know they didn't say that, but they might as well have. And then Trump comes in and ships them out, you know, and this judge throws a fit. Now, let me play some more DeSantis before I get to these activist judges. Jesse asked him, remember Martha's Vineyard when he sent... This is something I always remember. DeSantis, at one point, when this whole thing started, we were in the middle of the Biden administration. We had hundreds of thousands of people coming over here illegally every month.
That's such a brilliant move.
It was brilliant. It was better. I know that the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, you know, he started busing them to New York and Chicago, and that pretty much turned the tide in public opinion on what was really going on, that Biden himself and the government were flying illegals on our dime into little towns at 2 a.m. in the morning without us knowing, using NGOs, non-governmental agencies, so they wouldn't get in trouble to fly these planes and dump these immigrants everywhere.
Specifically into red states.
Right. And they did it in Florida. They flew them into Jacksonville. They flew them into West Palm. They were doing all that stuff. It's illegal, but they weren't doing it. They were paying a non-government, one of the non-governmental agencies, by the way, so you know, was Christian Charities.
Wasn't that under USAID?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's such a weird thing that, I don't know, it's run rampant now. Is everybody using someone else to do their dirty work?
Because you know, it's the mob. That's what the mob does.
But I mean, even with, you know, the Russia-Ukraine thing. Oh, well, we're not going to do anything, but we're just going to send you the missiles to do anything. I mean, look at the Middle East. We're not going to do it. We're just going to send you the weapons and you guys will fight. You have that, like, there's always a proxy, a shell company to do your dirty work.
Exactly, but that's the way they do it. So anyway, they flew the migrants into Martha's Vineyard. I'll let Mr. DeSantis tell you how that went.
They declared a state of emergency. Yeah. This, mind you, was an actual enclave, Martha's Vineyard, that claimed to be a sanctuary jurisdiction. They actually had an office that was supposedly to welcome refugees. I think it was just for virtue signaling.
They had an office. This story gets better. Even though it's old, it gets better all the time. Every time I hear it. He sent 50 migrants to Martha's Vineyard. Extremely wealthy, elitist little... This is where, remember JFK, who was the handsome one? Robert Kennedy, the one that got killed?
Junior.
He was flying to Martha's Vineyard. This is where all these people go. It's almost like the Hamptons, except you have to go there. It's a little island. Everything's very cuddly and cute. And they have one of the cities of that size with the most hotel rooms in the world. And when these migrants got there, 50 of them, mind you, there's thousands of people that go there every week to visit and stay for their vacations. Remember the people of the town went, oh, it's so wonderful to have them here. This is great. Call the police. Yeah, great. Here's a leaf blower. Stand in front of the house and we'll just hug each other in a little while. Go in the house. Call the military. Get them all out here. Get them out of here. And in 48 hours, they tossed them all out.
48 hours. Did anybody even have a chance to open the door on the immigrant office?
Yeah, then they had an immigrant office. No, this is the best.
I don't think they actually ever used it, but they declared a state of emergency. They had the National Guard come out, and this was just 50. And they were gone off that island within 48 hours.
50 brown people. We can't have them here. They don't match us.
And then you go to fly murderers down to El Salvador to prison. And they're like, oh, could you?
I'm telling you, man, it's one big comedy. We live in the comedy matrix.
So right. Just think about these poor Texas border towns having tens of thousands, and the elite liberals told them that they just had to grin and bear it. The minute they had 50 show up in their precious enclave, they flipped out.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. Do you remember the going away party? It was literally under 2 days. They didn't even say a word to each other. They had this for the cameras. They had this touchy-feely little going away party. We're going to miss you. We've shared so much. We've learned so much. Now get out!
So
they
great.
Sent him to the barracks at an army base.
Oh, we just love you. We would love to come here. Oh, let's exchange cultures. Are the cameras off?
Oh, shove them over here. Shove them. Get them out of here. Oh, my gosh. Sanitize the town.
There's not enough. What is that stuff that we use? Fabuloso.
The last part of DeSantis with Jesse was, what about the Gulf of America?
You know, this is kind of a microcosm for the change we've seen in our country from Biden to President Trump. You know, they do this space mission. You know, they have problems. And they had no way to go and rescue these astronauts. And they're just up there. Now we have a new president, President Trump, of course, working with Elon Musk. And they go up and they bring these guys back. So, yeah, it landed not far from where we are in Tallahassee, in that part of the Gulf. And so I think it was a important thing to happen. But I also think symbolically it shows that we're a country that can get things done again. Under Biden, we were just a country that was continually stubbing our toe because of his ineptitude.
No, and they did splash down in the Gulf of America. The astronauts did. And Elon was like, you know, this is great, and I'm happy they're back.
Well, I'm actually usually a little nervous about these returns because there's always some risk that something could go wrong. But thanks to the excellent work of the SpaceX team working with NASA, the astronauts are now safely home. And so congratulations to the SpaceX NASA teams on excellent work, and a huge note of appreciation to President Trump for prioritizing and expediting their return.
Yeah, and the whole reason they didn't return, in case you don't know, we've mentioned it several times, because it wasn't politically advantageous for Mr. Biden to return them, because it could, if it went wrong, it would blame it on him. And
yeah, I mean, you know.
And if it went right, you know, Musk would get all the credit, and Musk was already out for Trump.
So no matter what, he wasn't going to look good.
Right, so then he made them stay up there another 4 months just because of that, for political reasons.
Oh, I don't want to look stupid, Jack.
No, it's too late.
Yeah.
So Kristi Noem, I haven't heard a lot about her lately. She's, of course, the director, Department of Homeland Security. That's the one that Mr. Mayorkas, the border is secure.
Really? Is that why we got to fly people out of the country, because it was so secure?
She has been busy, and she has been super active.
Well, not only is it the domestic terrorism that hasn't really been addressed yet that she has to deal with, she's also dealing with swatting incidents of Republicans and conservatives in this country. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what swatting is.
Yeah, they call in fake reports about, you know, whatever, terrorism, somebody's killing my mother or something, and the SWAT team shows up, tears down your house, and yeah, it's terrible. They're fake.
And one of the ones that's experienced this several times now was what's her name, blonde hair, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So Joe Pagliarulo, a conservative radio talk show host, said during a swatting call at his Texas home last week, he was awoken at 2 a.m. Hell, I'm already up getting ready for the show.
Well, that's what he said. He's like, I was already awake doing my thing. My, you know, family's half asleep. He goes, you know, I thought it was a bug on the camera. I look out, and there's a guy with a gun. He goes, so I called 911 to make sure.
Should I play him, or are you going to tell everything he's going to say?
Well, I cut out a lot of his thing, but yeah, go ahead, play him.
911 confirmed that the county sheriff is there. We got a 911 call, hostage situation, dogs have been shot, they're hiding from the bad guy, and the person on the line, I've now heard the scanner traffic since, said they were me. But, well, here's a caveat. They said they were me, but didn't say my full name. They said Joe Pags. They didn't say Pagliarulo. As a homeowner, I would use my full name. They also described the house the wrong way, and they were so urgent in getting the police to break down my door and possibly kill me in my doorway. They told them, I heard this on the scanner traffic, that he's bleeding out upstairs. Please hurry and get inside. And I know that was going on. That's the thing. Not one of those things was happening.
So, wow. So yeah. Kristi Noem is on this right now, and so is Kash Patel from the FBI. I mean, this is getting insane. And then again, you know, I'm just telling you.
That's how they do it. Oh, my gosh, he's bleeding. So the cops think, you know, we have to get over there now. They're already, like I said, they shot his dogs, and we're already getting ready to breach his house when he noticed.
Yeah, it's scary.
And then we have the attacks on the Tesla dealerships, and Elon Musk himself's got to be careful. But Scott Jennings, we love Scott Jennings. He's the lonely Republican
on CNN.
Yeah, we got to get a jingle for that.
Yeah, he means a lonely Scott jingle.
Okay, I'll get on that. Lonely Scott on CNN, of course, with the usual idiots there. I think Abby was out that day. Abby Phillips, I'm not sure. Some other.
Oh, he was on, wasn't it? What's her name?
Oh, it was the Democrat strategist for the Biden administration and for the Obama administration. What's her name?
Brenna.
Fat Brenna. Anyway, here's how that one. They were talking about this is what kind of country are we now that we have somebody disagrees with somebody and they try to destroy their business. Well, Tim Walz was part of that, as we played for you earlier. But here we go. This is Abby Phillips and Scott Jennings.
So when they do it to a Tesla dealership, it's really bad. But when they do it to the halls of Congress, we should pardon them. Is that your position?
No, I know you haven't been around for a while, so let me educate you about my position about
you. I'm so sorry.
Let me educate you.
You don't need to be condescending to me.
So let me educate you about my position. You want to attack me? Let me finish.
Let's be the strategist for the Biden administration. That's her. We don't have her name, but
it's Tandon. It's Tandon.
Nini is talking here for in place of Abby Phillips, who's on vacation, probably from all the Trump stress as well, just like Lawrence O'Donnell, who had to take a vacation after 5 weeks.
Tired of blustering.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you're a condescending person who hasn't been paying attention to what I do.
Okay.
So here's the issue. I didn't support what happened on January the 6th and was one of the first Republicans to call it out. I don't support the pardons. I have repeatedly, just like my friend Ashley here, said that no violence in our political system is acceptable. But this right here, what's going on with a guy who helps our country, who runs successful companies, who doesn't have to be doing this, and now one of his companies is under systematic terroristic threat and violence all over the country, and people seem to be laughing about it or fine with it. It's outrageous. I've sat at this table and had people say, we should cut Elon Musk from the government totally. He rescued our astronauts today. Is that what we want? The treatment of this guy is outrageous. These people who are doing this need to be found, put in jail, and made an example of.
Yeah, and they also need to, the Democrat Party needs to apologize, and all liberals need to apologize to Elon Musk. I mean, never have I seen a guy that, you know, I trust him because I'm a good judge of people. I trust him. I listen to him. I don't think he has the capability of lying. First of all, his brain doesn't work like most people for two reasons. One of them he can't help, but the other reason is he's like 161 IQ. He's running six businesses all at the same time. Every one of his businesses are multi-million dollar endeavors that even 10 CEOs couldn't run one of them, and he's doing it.
Yeah, he's the richest man on the planet. So that removes a ton of incentive for corruption, because most people get corrupted because A, I did something dirty I need to cover up, or B, I need money, or I need to pay off somebody to help me cover up the dirty thing I did. But when you don't have that, and it's not a motivator, and you can't be bought, what? He doesn't have any other motivator than just doing the proper thing.
He's doing Doge for free. Okay, so that's taken away from all his businesses. He's doing great stuff for mankind. Neuralink is one of them. The other one is, you know what? Ukraine would not have communications capability with each other on the field if it weren't for the fact that he put the Starlink satellites up there for free.
It's the only reason they were still able to fight, and Russia didn't wipe them off the map. They couldn't communicate or use any of the weapons we give them without the internet.
Hey, Starlink helped us during the hurricane. Yep. During Milton, we had no communication. Thank God for Starlink.
Starlink also helps in California when the wildfires broke out, in North Carolina when that hurricane broke out. I mean, it's over and over
He's
again.
He's the worst!
This guy, right. He's a Nazi. How do you get Nazi out of that? You're stupid. That's what's wrong.
Nazi.
And then he saves two astronauts that the Biden administration was unwilling to do, and we wouldn't have the capability to do it if it weren't for his company. We'd have to ask the Russians to do it. That's how we were transporting astronauts back and forth from the ISS for years, because we wouldn't do it.
The irony of painting a swastika on the car designed by a guy that lent his Starlink satellites to Israel blows my mind.
All right.
You sure? He's a Nazi? That's why he's helping Israel out? Okay. Just double checking.
We're running out of time here, so let's move on. Let's go to the telephone. Every week we take... What is this? Every week... What is going on here? Can you call Musk? Something's wrong with my computer.
Let me get him on the phone here.
Every week we take a look at our nation's politics from the very top. So to the White House we go. We're standing by live as the President of the United States, Donald Trump. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Stacy, Jill, and Smoke Crack.
Well, it's my wife.
Hello.
My wife's filling in. My wife's filling in for Jill.
Oh, hello.
Angie.
Hello, Mrs. Stacy.
Hello.
Angie.
So, how's she doing? She sounds beautiful.
Well, she is.
Doing great, sir.
How's everyone doing there in Orlando?
We're doing good.
You're doing good because of all the things I've done to make so many people's lives better. You know who's not doing good? Ireland.
What?
Since the arrival of Rosie O'Donnell, they're experiencing another potato shortage. She eats a lot of carbs, okay? I should have warned them. And honestly, if getting Rosie O'Donnell to leave the country doesn't put me onto Mount Rushmore, nothing will.
Well, we have some questions to get to, sir.
Of course you do. But can I say real fast that I love the lawmaker in Minnesota who wants to officially designate TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, as a mental illness? Did you hear this?
No.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And to add insult to injury for the radical left, I will make sure it's not covered under Obamacare.
Well, let's begin, Mr. President. You spoke to Russian President Vladimir Putin on Tuesday about ending the war in Ukraine, or at least, you know, accepting a ceasefire to start. How did that conversation go?
Well, it was a beautiful call. It was a perfect call. We talked about how I should get the Nobel Peace Prize for bringing the world together. It was the focal point of our talk, actually. And any time he put me on hold, he was courteous enough to have YMCA as the on hold music. Now, that's respect. He never showed to Sleepy Joe, believe me.
So your call with Putin, was it productive?
Very productive. He laid out some demands for a ceasefire, and I'm working on them. You want to hear them?
Sure.
Okay, first, Vladdy wants to join the White House March Madness pool. Got a better payout, so I'm not surprised. Secondly, he wants us to return all the Russian mail order brides. That one may be tricky.
And what else?
Third, he wants a Rocky spinoff for Ivan Drago, where he returns as champion. That's a pretty good ask right there.
Okay.
Fourth, he wants a meet and greet with Taylor Swift. He said anyone else would be an insult to the people of Russia. He drives a hard bargain, you know,
next.
Whatever. Fifth, he has an eye on a couple of Hunter Biden paintings. That one should be easy. Sixth, he demands a do-over on the space race. Seventh, he wants to officially have a date night called Netflix and Chill. And finally, the eighth and most important demand... Yeah. Zelensky must do the Macarena on live TV.
Moving on, sir. You've said that certain January 6th committee pardons President Biden signed are void because he used an auto pen signature, not his own. Do you know this for sure?
Yes, because during his last year in office, Biden was about as sharp as wet leather. Auto pen was just, you know, it was bing, bang, boom. He was signing everything they slid in front of him.
You've also announced that you're ending Secret Service protection for President Biden's adult son, Hunter, and Ashley. Is that right?
Yes, and I also revoked their access to the McDonald's secret menu. But in all fairness, Hunter is probably affected the most.
Why is that?
Because he needs protection when he visits those crack dens, allegedly.
Right. Well, you've officially released all files having to do with the JFK assassination. We're sifting through them. What have you discovered from the release?
Well, there are thousands of documents still to go through, but at least they'll not be heavily redacted and nearly impossible to look at. I mean, it's not like it's Meghan Markle's new Netflix show.
All right, well, thanks for calling into the show, President Trump.
All right, gotta run. I just heard another Obama-appointed judge turned on me again, this time ordering the price of eggs to go back up. What a bastard.
The Sunny Update. This is the Rick Stacy Morning Show with Jill and Smokestack. Having fun with a world gone crazy.
Oh, yeah.
All right, what are we doing? Crazy Talk is brought to you by All Electric Services. Sitting in for Jill, here's my wife, Angie.
Hello.
Oh, Angie.
I'm, like, disheveled.
You say that every day.
You know.
Today you got it together. Yesterday was a little questionable, but.
That just means you fit the theme of the show.
If I were an employee, I'd be fired today, probably.
Wait, he's making you work for free? I go to HR.
What HR?
So, we've been talking about all the deportations, and in the wave of deportations, ICE has grabbed up an infamous illegal immigrant. I don't know if you guys remember her. Her name is Jeanette Vizquera.
No.
Vizquera.
So, she became, like, internationally known when back
like
in...
Like a fella with something in the microphone?
Back in 2006, she sought refuge in a church for 3 years. Do you guys remember that?
Nope.
For 3 years?
For 3 years to avoid deportation during Trump's first
term. Yeah. Where is she from?
She's from Mexico, but okay. She lives in Colorado. And she became so famous that she started a foundation to help other illegals.
She was
even named to Time's 100 most influential people at one point.
For breaking the law, yeah.
But mind you, she's been in this country since 97. Mm-hmm. In 2009 was her first running with the law when she was stopped at a traffic stop. And they discovered that she had a fake social security.
Oh, a felony. Okay, mm-hmm. So breaking
right?
the law.
So,
evading the law and now a felony. Okay, go ahead.
Well, she was picked up by ICE this week. And it's, you know... Like
massive protests.
The governor or the mayor, everybody's like trying to get her out because she's a pillar of society.
Right, pillar of society. She have any years to get it all her paperwork together?
Literally been in this country since 97.
So that's 28 years. So she had 28 years and she couldn't manage to go down to the DMV.
Well, no, I mean,
I
don't know what her, you know, why she wasn't able to get.
Because she's here
illegally. I know, but I mean, after she came out of hiding, out of the church, back after, you know, Trump lost the 2020 election, and she came back out. Now, why didn't in those 4 years did she try to, you know,
get a library card and
fix her immigration status?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Because she gained notoriety by being illegal and, you know, flipping her bird to the system, I guess.
I don't know. She does have a foundation that helps other illegals.
To do
what?
Did
they make her do work while she was in the church? That's my question. Did she just live in there? Or they make her clean the pews?
You know, I don't know.
After 3 years, you need to be dusting the organ or doing something.
But she's...
ICE has got her?
ICE has got her. She's being held at a detention center in Aurora, Colorado. It's I think.
Oh, yeah, me.
That would be you.
Jeanette Vizquera is being held at a detention facility in Aurora, Colorado, according to her attorney. The mother of four received international attention during President Trump's first term when she took refuge in a church for 3 years.
I wonder, you know what? I just heard those people screaming. It reminded me yesterday we played you this protester that was spotted at 8 different protests for 2 or 3 different couple of school shootings, couple of LGBTQ trans protests, couple of anti-Semitism protests, and then we had a montage of 8 of her different stops where she acted as a protester screaming F you and all this stuff. And that guy just reminded me of that. How many of these people are paid?
And well, I think most of those are her family, to be honest.
They're paid too.
So I know that petitions challenging her detention have been filed in both Denver's federal court and the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. Now, I have a question, though. When she was detained, she was on break from work. Mm-hmm. So she was working illegally in the country.
Yeah. Who
do you
was
know
her
where in- she was working?
Let me guess. The ACLU.
Target.
Really?
So
Target doesn't do what's that called? The what we had to do when we hired somebody. What was it called? The
tax forms?
No. The check.
You have to do. You have to put in all their information.
It has a name. The thing that does that. The when you hire somebody. Anyway, whatever.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, you got to fill out whether you're a citizen or not, and if you're allowed to work.
Well, you have to put your social security number.
That's what I'm saying. Any tax form you'd fill out would out you.
So was Target, maybe she had fake forms, unless Target was aware she was illegal.
I have no idea.
Wow. So now she's a martyr now. That's why she stayed.
Target's like, she's our cheapest paid employee.
She has four kids.
Right.
So I don't know what's going to happen with her.
But. There was a guy about a month ago. He was 82 years old. His kids were grown up, but he had like five kids and all that. And he had committed a murder back like 40 years ago. So the police finally caught up with him and arrested him. I know the equivalency is kind of weak because she just crossed the border illegally. This guy murdered somebody. But at the same time, when it comes to the law, is there like a statute of limitations as far as,
with certain things there are.
With a felony like faking forms and staying in the country after crossing illegally?
With certain things there are. The thing is, if this is like Colorado Governor Jared Polis. I don't know how you say his name. Anyway.
Polis or Police.
He's trying to appeal to, you know, ICE and to the president that Vizcaira is not a threat to society. Mm-hmm. That she deserves due process, and I can understand that.
Right,
that
she's
part
been
of
here
it.
A long time.
Due process. They all deserve due process in some way. But when do you say enough? 97. She came here in 97, and she's still illegal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's that. The onus was on her, wasn't it, to do something?
I would think. And then let's say we're
compassionate with this woman and we allow her to stay as long as she does whatever, community service, paint some fesses, pat some old people in the back in a nursing home, and she does all that. The minute let's say Trump's getting impeached, she'll be the first one out there with a sign, impeach the devil! You know that's going to happen, so screw you, get out.
Probably not wrong there.
In some Florida news.
I need a gavel.
I don't know if anybody has seen this because I wasn't aware of it till this morning.
What's that?
There's been a huge brush fire in the Keys.
Yeah.
That actually had
Monroe County.
Yeah, no. Well, US 1 closed.
Yeah. No.
Two days in a row.
Did you hear anything about this?
No. I knew Ocala had a small fire, but that was...
No, this is like a big fire.
Like, well, you can't get in and out of the Keys. Yeah. You know, if you've been down there, you know there's one way in, one way out.
Here's a...
The whole 18-mile stretch has been closed.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
Here's a report.
Thick smoke loomed over the Miami-Dade area as a wildfire shut down traffic in both directions on two major highways. The fire closed Card Sound Road and 18-mile stretch, which connects South Florida to the Florida Keys. After about 4 hours, 18-mile stretch slowly reopened, while Card Sound Road remained closed Tuesday night. The fire had burned more than 3,600 acres and was about 20% contained by early Wednesday.
Wow.
Wow, isn't that scary?
I didn't see anything on the news about it. It's weird.
I didn't see that. Like I said, I saw the Ocala one. I think I saw another one in South Carolina. But
yeah, I had no idea until I saw that this morning. I'm going, you're kidding me. And I haven't talked to my sister because my sisters live right there by Florida City. I mean, it's right there.
It's the opening to the Keys.
Yeah. So the traffic must be insane in that area.
Right. What's Ernest Hemingway doing? He's going to get out of there.
Oh, I heard that he was a CIA asset.
Get out.
Hemingway? That was apparently in the JFK files as well. He was being developed as an asset, but they couldn't rely on him because he was hammered all the time.
Oh, I haven't come across that yet, but yeah. That's fascinating.
Wow. Ernest Hemingway attempted an assassination of JFK. Yeah. Didn't work. He couldn't point the gun.
Well, no, he was... Because they were watching him because he had a bunch of commie views. And they're like, maybe we can flip him going the other way. And they're like, nah, apparently we tried. He's just hammering all the time. It's not going well.
Well, yeah. No, Hemingway, that's notorious. We know about the commie.
Yeah,
exactly. So they were already watching him and like, wait, maybe we can flip him. And he's like, do what? Oh, man, let me write something down.
That was huge, though, in that time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it was very...
I wish it was huge now. We got more commies out in the open now than we've ever had.
Yeah, but how many of them actually work for Russia? Or China. China's probably more prevalent. I mean, who is that? The congressman, Eric Swalwell?
I'm not talking about real communists. I'm talking about the ones here that think they're communists and read some book in college about Marxism. Thought, that's a great idea. To each his own, to whoever, according to his things.
You mean the ones with the Che Guevara t-shirts on?
Yeah. Who don't know he was a mass murderer. Oh, look at my Che Guevara t-shirt. I'm cool. You like my purple hair, my studs? Yeah, he's a mass murderer. No, he's not. He was a freedom fighter.
Those are the people they look to, would the real communists look to try to grab useful idiots.
If we could really, really help this country out by sewing the mouth of 20 to 30 year olds shut for 10 years.
I mean, some of those people that when you spew that,
I know it's another year. You'll be fine.
Like Eric Swalwell's a prime example. He's a pretend commie, and then they send a real commie to get him.
He's just an idiot. He had a honeypot. If you don't know Eric Swalwell, 2 years. Was it 2 years or more? He slept with a Chinese spy.
So, Congressman, you referred to Elon Musk as a fascist at some point and alluded to him being a national security threat. Do you see that more of a national security threat, you sleeping with a Chinese spy than... transparency in the federal government?
Her name was Wang Wang or something. What was her name? Zing Wang? Fang Fang.
Fang Fang.
You know, that's awfully nice. I know you were talking about, maybe finding somebody else because you only like to people that are tens. I just heard that one too.
Oh,
so what do you think about that? Do you want to comment on any of it?
Holy crap.
Elon Musk is a national security threat, but you sleeping with a Chinese spy is not. Is that correct?
And he's still in office.
But yeah, it's useful idiots, though. Like, you parade that around like, all right, actually, go after that guy.
Who was the old bat that passed away that they were holding her arm up? She was a Democrat, holding her arm up to vote because she couldn't lift her arm.
Dianne Feinstein.
Feinstein from California. Her assistant, her personal assistant, was a communist Chinese spy.
Dianne, how do you vote?
Huh?
She says yes. Keep going.
For 15 years, she had a communist spy in her office in California. She's a congresswoman. Was a congresswoman.
Yeah, but I mean, again, this is where the term limits thing comes into play. Some of those folks probably need to take a seat.
We should have stupid limits. Like Eric Swalwell needs that.
Would you see Mitch McConnell yesterday?
Uh-oh.
Oh, it was bad.
A question about tariffs. You called it a bad policy back in February. Have you had any conversations with the president just about that impact or what that looks like?
Why are you talking to him?
Talk to him about it being a bad policy.
Is he going to talk or are we going to hear this girl?
My hearing is not what it used to be.
Tariffs.
I can't understand a word he's saying.
Your comment is about tariffs. Tariffs.
Oh, jeez.
Comment about tariffs.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a fan of tariffs.
Oh, please.
Tariffs.
Stop.
The lady,
stop.
He looks over at her and she's like, tariffs. And then he's just staring at her. She has to walk up to him, go right in his ear and go, tariffs. And he goes,
I don't like tariffs.
I'm not a fan of tariffs.
Where were we?
That is such a sad situation.
But I mean, you'd have Dianne Feinstein there with a commie aide without even knowing because she's like, huh? I mean, Mitch McConnell, somebody better check his entourage.
Oh, somebody should check his pulse.
All right. Moving on.
So New York City subway stations have replaced their benches. I mean, I could just imagine people in Manhattan right now.
Replace what?
Their benches. They took the benches out and they put these like goofy leaning bars.
You mean?
Yeah, exactly what it sounds like. Yeah, so they can't sit. They have to like lean on this.
On a pipe.
It's not even a pipe. It's got like two bars, and then it looks like a metal 2x4 that's kind of angled back a little bit. It's
weird.
It's like...
Like, it'll leave an imprint on your ass if you try to leaning on that.
So it's a metal bar with a wooden thing?
No, it's not wooden. It's like all of it's metal, but it's like a metal 2x4. It's kind of tilted back, so it looks like you could maybe recline on it a little, but it's not for sitting.
It's super awkward.
Is this just to keep
super
homeless
awkward.
People from sleeping on the benches? Or
it's a leaning bar?
Yeah, they're like slates to lean on.
Okay. Yeah, you don't sit
down
anymore.
Maybe they're just avoiding people getting lit on fire because they fall asleep sitting on a bench anymore.
Well, it probably prevents people from, living there.
Well, sleeping on the bench, but here they put like an armrest in the middle of the bench, so it's like two seats, or right. They put like studs on it or something so it's not comfortable to lay on.
Like they do for the pigeons on the traffic lights.
Exactly.
The spikes.
But at least you can still sit down.
Yeah, I get you. So maybe, you never know. This could become a trend.
Furnishing our house is so expensive.
I wish there was a cheaper way.
Now there is at Leaning Bars To Go. Yes, forget about furniture. The new trend is leaning bars.
What are they?
How do they work?
They're leaning bars. Bars that you lean on. Yes, you'll love the way your home looks when it's filled with leaning bars from Leaning Bars To Go.
Our living room has a leaning bar instead of a sofa.
And a leaning bar instead of a chair.
In fact, we have a leaning bar instead of a coffee table. Let me just set my drink on it and... Oh man, honey, where's the broom?
In the kitchen next to the leaning bar, honey.
It's Leaning Bars To Go. Fill your home with leaning bars today.
Crazy talk. This is the Rick Stacy Morning Show with Jill and Smokestack. Having fun with a world gone crazy.
All right.
1, 2, 3, 4. Huh. All right, the update is brought to you by Farrah & Farrah. It is the first day of spring. The vernal equinox?
Yep.
Is this the vernal equinox?
It feels vernal.
Equal day and equal night?
I hate this season.
What do you mean?
This is my least favorite season of the year.
Because the caterpillars.
Yes.
I'm
like a nervous wreck. You don't understand.
No, I don't. She has a phobia, a real one.
Yeah. I didn't. When I first went to Disney with you guys, and we were at Epcot, and we're walking in, all of a sudden, Angie just takes this big, wide left. I'm like, she leaves something in the car? I don't think they're going to let her, like, re-enter. And he's like, no, it's probably a caterpillar somewhere. I'm like, where? He goes, see that tree over there? She probably saw one that we won't see yet for another 10 feet, but she's circumventing it. She'll meet us somewhere further ahead.
That was a really nasty one. I remember the caterpillar.
Really?
Yes, I do. I remember it. I could see it. I close my eyes and I see it.
Wow.
Oh, I saw one that freaked me out. Normally, I'm not afraid of caterpillars, but I saw it looked like a grub.
Yeah.
It was like big red eyes. It had like this white gooey body and like black claws.
It had eyes?
Yeah. It had red visor on or something. It was wearing something.
It was a MAGA hat.
He was freaky. He was already in the dirt. I ran him over with my car and I got out. I was like, alien.
Well, I haven't met one that I love, so.
This is the spring equinox.
Oh, dude, the allergies, the pollen. I like have to use my leaf blower just to get the yellow crap off the back patio.
That's not the one that gets you. That's pine pollen, isn't it? No?
I wasn't allergic to anything until like 2 years ago. And then all of a sudden the oak trees here and the ones at my house just apparently I'm allergic to oak pollen now.
Well, Central Florida is the allergy capital of the world, according to my pulmonologist.
Oh, my God. Okay, great. Wonderful. Here's some other great news. Trump is set to sign the executive order today. The shrieking will be heard in space. If those astronauts were still on the ISS, they would hear it. From down here. The unions for the teachers are going to go nuts. The media, who is always on the side of liberals and communism and Marxism, they're going to go nuts. They're going to tell you it's the end of education in this country, that the children will suffer and the parents will suffer and everybody's going to die. That's what they're going to tell you. I'm telling you.
I'm not
exaggerating. Watch. It'll go on for days, too. He's destroyed education in our country. No, I think the education department in our country has destroyed education in our country. The numbers came out yesterday. It's the nation's report card. I'll just give you a little quick summation. By the way, it still stands because we had the test scores come out from Baltimore, Chicago, actually the whole nation, state by state. But the worst states and the worst cities were Chicago, Baltimore, and what was the other one?
Detroit.
Yeah, Chicago, eighth graders, only 8% were proficient in reading at eighth grade level. 8%. 8%!
That's terrible. How are you in eighth grade?
It's not the kid's fault.
But even then, how did you get there?
You didn't do anything. And besides that, I wish I had the soundbite, but Jill won't give us her password. But I had a soundbite the other day of a teacher bragging on the streets of New York to a guy with a microphone she doesn't know. She's a teacher. So was her friend. That she was like, he goes, do you teach reading and math? She goes, we don't talk about it. What we talk about is DEI and transgender and LGBTQ plus C47E-2.
If only that helped kids read.
Idiots. And these are the people teaching your children. And of course, universities are busy teaching how to hate Jews, how to hate this country and everything else. But here's the nation's report card. Remember, we spend more per student than any other country in the world. Yet we are 38th in the world. So a fourth grade reading level, basic reading skills for a fourth grader in the United States is only at 40%. 40%.
How do you not hold kids back? What's your standard for graduation? You have to have a standard.
Dude, there is no standard anymore.
No, like, graduating now is a participation trophy.
You don't have to graduate with a good grade, but if you don't know how to read at all, I think you could probably be held back until you get it figured out.
Now, it gets even better. So proficiency at math in the eighth grade is at 28%. 72% of our student population in public schools, the ones run by the Department of Education that Trump's dissolving, only 28%. That means 72% are not proficient at math at the eighth grade level.
For crying out loud.
Oh, it's better for reading. By the time you get to eighth grade, remember, you were 40% proficient fourth grade reading. But now eighth graders are only 33% proficient in reading. Reading. That means half the kids or more in this country are illiterate.
How?
So anyway, he's today.
Like, how do you make it through life? How do you even enjoy TikTok if you can't read the comments?
Like, today, the president will sign the executive order to disband the Department of Education. And the shrieking will be, your ears are going to pop from all the noise.
I think President Trump is going to go down in history as the president that saved education and the future of the country. Him eliminating the Department of Education, already getting rid of half of the staff, is tremendous. I mean, this department is going to be gone. And just to illustrate how important this is, you have thousands of bureaucrats that are up there that are pushing a left-wing agenda, the most radical agenda the country's ever seen. They're teaching kids to hate the country. Mm-hmm. They're teaching kids to hate their faith. You've seen the anti-Christian, anti-Judaism bias there in the agency. You've seen them pushing transgenderism on states. You've seen them use such a heavy authoritarian hand as to threaten the states if they didn't allow boys in the girls' bathroom, boys and girls' sports last year. They were going to jerk all the funding and enjoin us in lawsuits. This agency will forever be gone thanks to President Trump. So you're going to see states that step up, states that are able to solve problems that have been going on for decades in education, and you're finally going to see the teachers' union's number one ally, the Federal Department of Education, go away. So now parents can truly be in charge of their kids' education.
It's about time. That's all I can say. And again, I warn you that all day today, tomorrow, and probably for the next 3 or 4 days, all you're going to hear is Trump has destroyed education in this country. He's a Hitler. He's a fascist.
I love the poorly educated.
It's just a mess. Anyway, a little personal story about our grandkids. Tell everybody what you told me yesterday about that.
Yeah, so our grandkids are being homeschooled. My daughter decided against putting them in the Virginia school system. With everything that had happened, you know, back in COVID and beyond. So she's homeschooling. Her sister-in-law's kids, who are the same age as our grandkids.
But are very wealthy and could afford private school.
Absolutely. They go to the D.C. public school system. They live in D.C.
And it's not because it's good for the children. It's because their parents can say, well, I trust the public school
system. Both of their parents, first of all, both of their parents went to private school.
Right.
Grew up going to private school.
But it's about virtue signaling.
They're both doctors, and they put their kids in public school. Hey, I went to the public school system in West New York, New Jersey, and it was amazing. I had the best education I could have possibly had.
Long time ago.
But my daughter's in-laws, the nieces and nephews, cannot read at the same level that my grandkids can.
Ooh.
It's and math, everything, like across the board.
What's the age difference?
They're the same exact age.
Wow.
They were born weeks apart.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what's that tell you about what's going on in the D.C. school system?
Well, what's going on in every school system? It's an indoctrination platform. That's all it is. You know that?
Yeah, but private schools know better, okay? Because I went to public school most of my life. I went to public private school 1 year, Catholic school. And when I got there, I was so far ahead of everybody in my grade that it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So my education in that ghetto that I grew up in was way better than what my father was paying for a lot of money in private school.
That's the thing. It's like you can be in the same town, across town, and one group of kids isn't getting it, the other one is.
Yeah.
You know, it's very dependent, but I just don't, you need to have a standard. There's no point in having grades if nobody learns anything.
It's not about learning, dude. That's why this is happening. It's because it's an indoctrination center. The Department of Education and all these unions are nothing but money laundering schemes. I mean, think back at COVID. They were given Trump gave him the money because Trump was a novice at this thing. And he didn't want to, you know, yeah, he pissed a lot of people off, I guess, but he didn't want to totally botch it. So when the COVID hit, he started handing out money. And one of the people he handed out money to was $120 billion to the teachers unions and the Department of Education so they could get HVAC systems. Did they ever get the HVAC systems? I think there was four.
Yeah.
Well, the guy we were just listening to, Ryan Walters, who's the superintendent, Oklahoma Public Instruction Schools, mm-hmm. he said that Trump's move is exactly what students, parents, and the entire country needs right now. That rather than helping to implement effective education systems, the Department of Education has long been co-opted by radical teachers unions and the American Federation of Teachers, which he says has been pushing just diversity, equity, and inclusion and other leftist ideologies in states, including Oklahoma.
Here at the Derek Zoolander Center for Kids Who Can't Read Good and who want to learn to do other stuff good, too, we teach students of all ages everything they need to know to learn to be a professional model and a professional human being.
So just so you get an idea, by the way, they let go of 1,300 people from the Department of Education just 7 days ago. Now this is a complete shutdown. But just to give you the mindset of the people that work in these departments, and this isn't necessarily political, just the warped sense of work ethic. Listen to this lady who just got fired, and listen to the pandering reporters. Oh, tell us how you feel. Listen to this.
Can you tell us what your message is to senators while we're walking?
I think it's really cool to fire people for poor performance when they've only had great feedback.
Did you hear that? I think it's cruel to fire people for their poor performance.
But that if you... Okay.
Don't even try.
You can't. You really can't. I just don't understand. I don't understand.
But the thing is, to their credit, this is all they're used to because poor performance has never been frowned upon in the last how many decades?
Oh, sorry, 3, 4, 5. 5, really.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
Now, no. Because our generation wasn't like that, I don't think.
You're going to have, you know, dumb kids out all over.
Of
randomly,
course.
You know, you're going to have some.
But not a predominance.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking an overwhelming majority in math, reading. And it's not just one grade. It's multiple grades, multiple schools. It's, come on now.
Well, look at the kids coming out of college. They don't know where Mexico is.
Never mind Mexico. They're all holding signs. I support Ukraine. Yeah, where is it? Show me on the map. I don't know. It's by New Jersey.
Yeah. Where's Miss Utah when you need her?
Yeah. All right. So, the issue, you know, of course, we had those two because Jill locked her computer. I can't get the audio, but those two teachers were talking about, we don't have time for math. We have to teach DEI and CRT and all that stuff. Funny thing is there's a new poll out. NBC does the poll. And of course, what they do when NBC does a poll that doesn't go their way, right? Doesn't go the Marxist way. What they do is they hide it. And it's a little report. And they don't do it on the TV. They'll put it on their website. Little tiny thing on the bottom. NBC poll just came out yesterday. United States of America polled about 3,000. Turns out half of registered voters want DEI programs to go away. Another 20% say they're not sure, but it doesn't sound good. And the rest of them don't have any opinion, which is people who stick their head in the sand. But they said that DEI, the ones that said it needs to go away, which is the majority of Americans, said it creates division and inefficiencies in the workplace. That's not the only thing. DEI is racist. Here's Officer Tatum.
White House Deputy Chief of Staff.
Oh, that's not it. Sorry. Oh, well, I don't know what happened to it. I think it was yesterday. Nope, it's not yesterday. It's the day before. Nope. The day before. No, searching for the soundbite. It's not there.
Rick is fishing.
God. Anyway, or was it Z? Okay. Yes, it is. Ah.
It's a money grab. It's a race hustle. This stuff don't, they don't need DEI people. People are wasting entire budgets on groups and sections of people to be diversity, equity, and inclusion officers. What in the does that mean? It's a money grab. It's a money grab. They force these companies to have to hire these people to do what? To do status quo and to be woke. That's all they're doing. They're not accomplishing anything. And so when states are banning racism, which is what DEI is, it's literally racism. It's saying, it's what it's doing is DEI is spitting in the face of Martin Luther King.
Yep. That's exactly what I've been saying for I don't know how many years now.
If DEI works anywhere, it has to work everywhere. Let me tell you where DEI does not work. The NBA and the NFL. Where are the Asian, Latino, and Hispanic basketball and football players? Where are the black guys in the National Hockey League? Those businesses are performance-based.
I mean, when it comes down to money, well, now we can't do DEI because we'll lose money. We don't want to do that.
Besides that,
let's fight racism with racism.
All right, you got any, sound like Jill now, do you have any ominous, you know, scary Antarctica music?
Scary Antarctica
yeah, look at
music. Spotify.
Type Antarctica music in Spotify. It'll come
something
up.
Some like Amityville Horror music?
Yeah, sort of. Okay.
Same.
More like Tremors or what was the movie about an actual people stuck in the pole?
How about Shining?
You're thinking it's of The Thing.
All right. Well, it sounds like a plot from a psychological thriller in Antarctica. An isolated group of 9 climate researchers has put out a cry for help after one colleague assaulted and threatened to kill another. The South African team was sent to Sanye 4 base to study climate. And now we go to the report.
A South African research crew studying the climate in the Antarctic is dealing with more than just extreme weather and ice. One researcher recently wrote an email obtained by the South Africa Sunday Times. It indicates the team of researchers is living in fear of one of their colleagues who has become violent. The email pleaded for the crew at what is called Sanye 4 base to be rescued, saying his behavior has escalated to a point that is deeply disturbing. The email alleges he physically assaulted somebody, threatened to kill another person, and has created an environment of fear and intimidation.
And they received a recording of this violence and intimidation. One of the scientists was harassing one of the female scientists there. Listen in.
Don't hurt me.
I'm gonna hurt you.
Stay away from me.
Wendy.
Stay away.
Darling, light of my life. I'm not gonna hurt you. You didn't let me finish my sentence. I said, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going to bash your brains.
Yeah. So we got some evidence there, but it gets worse. Ready?
And it is now, quote, imperative that immediate action is taken to ensure my safety and the safety of all employees.
So what are you going
to
do? Quote.
But taking immediate action back in South Africa will be extremely difficult. It takes about 2 weeks when the weather cooperates to reach the base, roughly 2,500 miles from the southernmost tip of Africa, located on a freezing hilltop. According to the Times, the team is entirely cut off and might be for another 10 months, where the average winter temperature is about minus 10 degrees and winds can reach 135 miles per hour.
You are stuck there.
Yeah.
Has it ever occurred to you what would happen to my future if I were to fail to live up to my responsibilities? Has that ever occurred to you? Has it?
Yeah, we got to cut it off there because he starts throwing test tubes and soil cores and stuff like that.
By the time they get there, there's going to be one guy left sitting there at the bar saying, I have always been here.
Didn't you guys watch The Thing with Kurt Russell? What? The alien they find in the Arctic that slowly kills them all one by one. because he jumps into their bodies.
Can you imagine, though, being there so isolated and it just white out? You're in a white out. It's got to mess with your head.
You guys going to listen to Gary? It'd be one of those things.
The Antarctic mystery thickens.
A woman was taken into custody Tuesday. I don't know. I couldn't have done that. She would not make it to the police station. That's why I'm not a cop. But authorities discovered a dead dog inside a bathroom at OIA in 2024, according to the cops.
What?
OPD said they responded to MCO on December 16th, 2024, about a dead animal found in an employee inside the women's bathroom. Spokesperson for the Greater Orlando Aviation Authority confirmed a woman drowned her dog in a woman's public restroom. Based on the evidence, police said they issued a warrant for the arrest of Allison Lawrence. Sources say the incident took place before the security checkpoints and the woman didn't have the right paperwork to allow the dog on the plane. So she took it to the bathroom and drowned it.
What is wrong with you?
What piece of crap?
And there was nobody else in the bathroom? Nobody witnessed this?
Yes, not. I mean, not until you...
I'm sorry, have you been to a ladies' bathroom
at the airport?
Well, you haven't, but there's never nobody in the bathroom.
She's held on $5,000 bond. That's not enough. How about a $5 million? She's facing aggravated animal cruelty, which is a third-degree felony. No, it should be a first-degree felony. How could you do that?
Yeah, what is the matter with you? And my other question is, all right, this happened in December. They just arrested her on Tuesday?
Well, I guess that they didn't know. I don't know. Did they just identify her?
I have no idea.
That doesn't say on the story. It just happened this week. They arrested her and she's in jail.
Jeez.
She's fully cooperating with the investigation. Yeah, right.
Unbelievable. What a rotten human being.
Right?
Yeah, sometimes
you suck. Suck ass.
Sometimes due process should be bypassed. It should be a law.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. You don't qualify for, like, regular justice.
So because she was going to miss her flight.
Yeah.
Wow.
Finally, the long... And I'm sure it's for some scumbag guy who just, you know, she's found online and she's meeting him in the Dominican Republic.
No, that deserves another.
I'm making that part
one
up.
For good measure.
Finally, a long-awaited release of tens of thousands of files on the JFK assassination. My wife is, used to be in the law business for 20 years, so she's very detailed and analytical when it comes to this stuff. And yeah, I think we found some pretty disturbing stuff in those files, but it seems like the media is brushing it off because, again, the media loves to protect the Politburo, the current government. It doesn't matter what government it is. They're all about the bureaucracy. They're let on that there's something shocking in these files. But there is. And we don't have everything for you. Yesterday, we discussed part of it. And, of course, that was that they knew 2 months before the JFK assassination and MLK exactly, with all the details included, that this was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Dude. And all the stuff that, like, came out with it. I mean, granted, some of this got released in, like, 2001. But the whole Operation Northwoods... their justification for U.S. military intervention in Cuba that Kennedy turned down, that really, you know, upset a lot of folks.
Upset a lot of people.
But the plans and the ideas they had in here are heinous. The things they were going to do is all false flag operations. They were going to bomb cities in Miami, shoot people, go beat up a U.S. people in Cuba, bomb radio stations, take out flights, stage terrorist attacks disguised as Cubans just so they'd have a reason to invade.
Yeah, but you see, there's so many things like that's what's led to so many different conspiracy theories.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the mafia, the Cubans, the CIA, Lyndon.
So, Gerald Posner, he's the author of the best-selling book in 1993, Case Closed, Lee Harvey Oswald and the Assassination of JFK, blah, blah, blah. No, case is not closed. What we see now, what we're seeing now from what little we've gleaned from some of the pages, because there's 22,000 pages so far released, is that Washington knew what was going to happen. So you got to assume at this point, and when you read through all the stuff, it won't be an assumption anymore, probably, but that we did it. Our government did it. And the funny thing is, Gerald Posner, who wrote this book, he's trying to protect his legacy, is saying, there's no real news here. Are you freaking kidding me, you moron? Really? You just want to sell another book or two now because JFK assassination is popular.
Yeah.
These people, I just can't. Why can't you just tell the truth? Hey, you know, my book, it was based on assumption and speculation. A lot of people bought it. I made my millions. Now that it comes out, we know more about it. He could have just
Write a sequel.
But that's
Write a sequel. That's it.
He could have just told the truth, walked away with his millions of dollars he made off that book, and said and done a sequel. No, he had to come out immediately and say, "I have nothing to look at here." Are you kidding me? You're part of the problem now.
Well, there's so many different theories, and there's so much speculation you could go to. I mean, JFK had a lot more enemies than just the CIA. You know, there's a whole bunch of mob ties that are apparently very glaring, if you know what you're looking at.
But, look, even with all the speculation, when you look at what we've seen in the last, 48 hours about Underhill.
Gary Underhill, that whole thing?
Okay. When you add that to what I found yesterday from that Russian agent and what he told the embassy, and then you see what happened with Underhill, where he was a U.S. Army intelligence officer. Right. And the day after the Kennedy assassination, he left like in a hurry out of D.C., wound up in some friends in Jersey, where he told them that a small clique of the CIA had killed Kennedy. And then fast forward, what was it, a few months later when he was found dead, supposedly by suicide, where he shot himself on with his right hand, but he's lefty or vice versa.
The bullet hole was in the back on the left side of his skull, but he's right-handed.
Yeah.
And Hillary Clinton wasn't active at that point.
But I mean, also even then, like Lee Harvey Oswald, Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald because he was overcome with patriotism. Jack Ruby was a bouncer at a nightclub.
Yeah, Lee Harvey Oswald was the guy on the roof at Butler, Pennsylvania. It's just another one.
It really is. I mean, it's a patsy. You find one dude who's kooky enough, who's already planning on doing it, and then you just make sure he can.
Anyway,
and then as soon as it happens, then you got a failsafe in place, and then you just cover all the evidence. They melted the guy's car down. His body wasn't even cold. They melted the car down he was shot in. Have you ever done any criminal investigation where you would do that?
Well, it's like they knew he was going to do it, and they facilitated it.
Yeah, so now you're going to hear the same thing as they're going to just say, oh, it's not a big deal. You remember this? Remember when Mueller and the whole Russia hoax against Trump, and after it was all said and done, and they spent $40 million, and there was all these hearings, it was like, wah, 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 wah.
Well, then how can you possibly think in today's day and age that the attempts against Trump were not inside jobs?
That's what I'm saying.
Of course they were, even without this JFK report.
So what, did they release this JFK report so that they can now investigate the Trump shootings? Because I still want to know why my president was shot at.
Twice.
And we know nothing. We know more about Luigi Mangione, that guy.
Dude, yeah, Luigi Mangione, the Gabby Petito case. The nation was on the edge of their seats.
Why
scrambling
is nobody
for every
asking?
Piece of evidence. And here it's like, no, hose the blood off the roof. All right, done with that.
All right, burn him.
Like the second assassination attempt at the golf course that nobody knew about, even so Secret Service was surprised because it was not on the dude's schedule. Trump's like, yeah, I think I'm going to go. Let's just go. All right, sir, I guess let's go. Dude was waiting there in a spot. Well, they managed to catch him, but at the same time, that was in the news for what, 2 days?
Look at the Vegas attempt. Look at the New Orleans.
Yeah.
Where? Nothing like that. Mom, everything's like silent crickets.
Yeah, Las Vegas.
What's going on?
That Mandalay Bay shooter, the FBI was sitting in the guy's house they burned it to the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you do that?
With a match.
But you're not going to investigate.
No, I know. Look, it's corrupt. It's corrupt. And there's still people will walk around. There's little old lady right now going, the government takes care of us. That's all baloney. What they talk about there. It's all conspiracy theories. So, Trump looked at the report, the JFK files. This is what he found. This is what he found.
What are you? Yeah, just listen to Tucker Carlson.
Yesterday, you were out celebrating St. Patrick's.
We spoke to someone who had access to these still hidden CIA documents. A person who was deeply familiar with what they contain. We asked this person directly. Did the CIA have a hand in the murder of John F. Kennedy, an American president? Mm-hmm. And here's the reply we received verbatim. Quote, the answer is yes. I believe they were involved. It's a whole different country from what we thought it was. Mm-hmm. It's all fake.
Yep, absolutely. Anyway, here's Trump.
Hi, folks. Thanks for coming. And wow, there's a lot of crazy stuff here in the JFK assassination documents. A lot of shocking revelations. Let me flip through them. Page number one. The grassy knoll is actually AstroTurf. Page number 428. A recipe for low-sodium deviled eggs. Unbelievable. Page number 1,627. What really happened to Tony Soprano in the series finale of The Sopranos? Oh. Shocking stuff. Page 8,694. 204 ways to drive him wild in the bedroom. Incredible. And finally, on page 22,399, Trump is the greatest. Wow, what a nice thing for the documents to say. No more questions.
The Sunny Update, brought to you by
Farrah and Farrah, Orlando's accident attorneys. Make it a Farrah fight. FarrahandFarrah.com.
Sometimes it's Jill that needs decantering. The Rick Stacy Morning Show. Do you want to let that breathe a bit? No, don't worry about it. With Jill and Smokestack, having fun with the world gone crazy.
All right, Crazy Talk is brought to you by All Electric Services. And hello to David, my friend over there. And here's my wife, Ange, in for Jill.
So, education has been a big topic the last couple of days. And yesterday was no different. Another case of FAFO.
Of what?
FAFO.
What's that?
F around and find out.
Oh, okay.
So the Trump administration has paused $175 million in federal funding to the University of Pennsylvania over its inclusion of transgender athletes in women's sports. As you know, the University of Pennsylvania became very famous when Leah Thomas, back in 22, I believe.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
You know, transgender student athlete was put on the women's team and eventually went on to win national championship.
Yeah, we don't have to go over that.
Riley Gaines, all that. So the school gained some notoriety over that. And now Trump has paused. It's paused, but they
a judge paused it, right?
Trump paused $175 million funding to the school.
So
the school gets about $1 billion in funding.
Why do we give schools
From what I understand, it's about $1 billion.
Schools that overcharge parents for the education that really is just more indoctrination than education and anti-Semitism education. Why do we fund them federally? Why?
I don't know. They get a lot of endowments. But anyway, so this is only $175 million. The school does, like last year it reported, federal funding was at about $1 billion. God. So this is like pennies compared to what they get in total funding from the country. But, I mean, this number can go up because if they don't adhere to the, you know, keeping women out of men's sports... I know that Trump has threatened to pull all their funding.
Wow.
And there's a lot of uproar about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other news, Pam Bondi responded yesterday to all of the attacks on the Tesla dealerships. And she's pretty much echoed President Trump's opinion that these attacks are a case of domestic terrorism.
These attacks are taking place throughout our country. We have charged multiple people. Get ready. More coming. One we charged in Oregon is facing 5 to 20 years in prison. We filed in Colorado. We filed in South Carolina. There are more coming. And yes, the funding is one thing we are looking at among many others.
Just stop right there. Look, the funding, these people are being paid. And we're not going to say the name of who's paying them because, they could pretty much do away with us instantly. But these people are getting paid. Number two, it's domestic terrorism. I mean, it's flat out domestic terrorism. Number three, they think they can get away with it because for 4 years and even before that, during the BLM riots, they burnt down police precincts, bombed federal buildings, killed police officers, burnt down entire downtown areas, went crazy all over and nothing happened.
Exactly. So this historically, they have gotten away with it. And they think that they're still playing by the same rules and things are a little different now.
The Bondi's on the case.
I was personally in a meeting about it this morning. We are coming after you. We believe these are organized. These are not individuals out there throughout the country doing this on their own. They're targeting Tesla owners. They're targeting Tesla dealerships. They're targeting Elon Musk, who is out there trying to save our country, and it will not be tolerated. We are coming after you. We will find you. And if you are an organized group who is funding this, we're going to find you too. You better look out and you better stop it.
Now, Pam Bondi's tough cookie. I like her, except that I think maybe she should hire somebody that sounds a little tougher and a little more threatening than her.
are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Who burn Teslas.
If you let my daughter go now, that'll be...
And give her her car back.
That'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Liam Neeson, poor guy. He kind of got pigeonholed after that role. It's like, you know, I heard him do an interview one time. He's like, I would like to do funny movies, but everyone thinks I'm tough. I'd love to go on Broadway and dance and twirl.
He's so good at what he does, though.
Yeah. And director's like, good luck.
Speaking of movies and stuff, can you imagine living in a house that's like famous because it was
like,
you know,
the Brady Bunch house?
Like the Brady Bunch house or the Home Alone house, you know? Mm-hmm. Like a famous landmark
house. I would love to live in the Golden Girls house. Have you seen Blanche Devereaux's wallpaper?
Well, one particular resident who lives in the brownstone that was featured in Sex and the City, that was Carrie Bradshaw's home, is fed up. Tourists are literally like, they park their butts outside his house and have just disrupted his life. It's nonstop. Everybody comes to see the Carrie Bradshaw house, except it's not the Carrie Bradshaw house. So he actually lost it the other day. And he says, you know, he was very apologetic. You can tell that
he was just frustrated,
super sensitive, but he was very, very frustrated. He's like, you can take all the pictures you want, but please just stop standing there. I mean, it's constant. He goes, my kids can't come in and out of the house. I can't go walk my dog. These people, they won't move out of your way. He had to chain like the front of the brownstone has like
stoop.
Yeah, has chains because people would like sit there. It's kind of like if you go down to Miami, you go to the Versace house.
Right.
And everybody, you know, takes pictures.
But that's got a big...
Now it's a hotel, but it was closed for a while.
And you used to have an 8-foot fence so you couldn't climb over spikes and stuff.
But then they took the fence out and it was just like a little chain too. Right. And you could sit on the steps where he was killed.
Oh.
So this guy was just losing it. And there's a recording of him.
Be more respectful. Happens all the time. I apologize.
This doesn't sound like a guy losing it. He's apologized twice. Why is he apologizing?
Well, he already hit the kids. You know,
didn't hit.
Well,
anybody.
People are like, he's like, you know, you're loitering, and they're like, what? It's loitering. It's like crazy. I'm not having a party out here.
I didn't leave trash. I didn't loiter.
They're like, I'm not having a party out here. I just want to take a picture. But can you imagine? It's literally throngs of people like sitting on your doorstep, looking in your window.
Yeah, he needs to come out like what's his face and say, get off my lawn.
He should come out in his underwear, like scratching his crotch. Like, can I help you?
I'm the hootin'est, tootin'est, shootin'est bobtail wildcat in the West.
You stack your bodies like big bags of sand in Korea. I shoot you in the head and I sleep like a baby.
Something like that.
I try not to do this, but sometimes people cross a line and I can't.
No, I understand. I understand you have to.
Thank you so much for understanding. Have a great day.
Oh God!
Thank you for understanding. Have a great day. Now
this is how these twig boys lose it.
Oh please, I apologize for saying this, but can you please stop shooting my house with bullets, please? I apologize for asking, but can you please stop shooting at my kids? Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to say you can't shoot at me, but just don't shoot at my kids. Well, I apologize.
See, I got yelled at for being mean to somebody that came to my door the other day.
Dude.
Well, because there's a sign that came with the house, but it's on the mailbox. It's pretty big. It says no soliciting, right? Sure enough, nobody reads that.
Well, they don't know how to read, remember?
No. And of course, I got a baby asleep inside, and then a dog that, you know, you fart and he's like, bah, 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 bah. You know, my girlfriend's trying to work from home. She's on the phone in the middle of a call. This guy's like, poo, 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 poo. Hey, can I talk to you about solar panels or something stupid you don't need? And the dog's going off, the baby's going off. My girlfriend's like, who's outside? You know, and I open the door. I'm like, dude, can you see the thing? Oh, hey, man, I'm sorry. You'll excuse me. I'm like, well, just read the sign, dude. We could have avoided this whole debacle. Leave me alone. You know, just get off people's front steps.
Okay.
Listen, you know those they come out with every year, the like calendars of the sexy mugshots and all this.
Right.
We have a new sexy mugshot. This girl, Lily Stewart, she's a University of Georgia student.
Hold on now.
Oh, she's hot.
She's hot. She got stopped for speeding. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
Well, she got arrested for speeding, not stopped. She got arrested for speeding.
She looks like what's her name from the law, you know, Pink Law, whatever. What's her name?
Legally Blonde.
Yeah, she looks just like.
She's very pretty.
Yeah.
The Alpha Chi sorority. Hello.
So she had her mugshot got published, and you got to see her mugshot. She's like all smiles, pearly whites, like hot as hell, like she's posing for Instagram.
75 and a 55. Who cares?
She went.
That's not that bad.
She went viral, and now she goes her DM, like every seedy old guy that can possibly come out. Yeah, they are all slipping into her DMs like, I want to pay your bond. And
you know. I do a lot of sweethearts. Oh, sweetheart. Yo.
Basically. So this is her talking about it.
I'm just kind of here for it. I mean, not like... I was just, at first it went viral on Facebook, and I was taking, not viral, but I was taking my legal test, and my mom calls me and she's like, Lily, don't freak out, but your Facebook post for your criminal thing has 500 likes. I'm like, oh my gosh, mom, like, I don't care. And then from there, that was about a week ago. And then from there, it just kept getting more. I mean, I look at the comments and I think it's funny, you know, but I mean, to me, it's just funny because, I mean, I understand, like, it's surprising that I got arrested for speeding and my like, mugshot. It's just, I was smiling because I always smile for a photo, you know?
Ah, okay. I know. All her section is just
she's
down
very blonde.
Yeah,
I was going to say that bubble just got popped.
And like, can you imagine having to listen to that every night?
I do a lot of sweethearts. Yo, sweetheart.
But you can imagine, she's getting all kinds of offers on her mugshot.
Yeah, I like to speed too.
How about I send a honey bun to your commissary?
Oh my God. And this other woman, so she got a deal on Expedia.
Expedia,
yeah. Okay. She got a hotel reservation, mm-hmm. got a great deal. She was all excited. She's going on vacation. Fun. Good deal. She gets notified by the hotel that they want her to cancel her reservation because the deal was too good.
What?
Yeah. So
the deal was too good?
Yeah, because she wasn't calling it, you know, paying enough.
But they sold it to her.
I know. They sold it to a third party, which is Expedia.
That's so the whole point of using Expedia is for the deal.
Exactly. So she contacted Expedia. She's like, hey, this is going on. Like, what do I do? And they're like, oh, no, your reservation is confirmed. Go ahead. And they're like, but if I show up, they said that they might not be able to accommodate me.
What? She paid for it.
Exactly. But then they're like, so Expedia goes, well, if they don't accommodate you, then we'll have to deal with it with relocation services.
No!
Can you imagine you're going on vacation, you get there, and then you can't get in your room?
Looking for a low rate on a hotel, even if it comes with the slight possibility that your reservation will be canceled? Then book your trip on traveloutalucky.com. Yes, if you're willing to risk your trip getting canceled because the rate was too low, you can save big on your hotel with Travel Out of Luckity.
I booked my stay at a hotel in the Bahamas with Travel Out of Luckity. It was only $50 a night, but then when I was bringing my bags up to my room, they canceled the reservation and bumped it up to $100 a night. I paid it, and then when I got into the room, they canceled it and bumped it up to $200 a night. Still not too bad.
Yes, you'll love the room you get with.
And then they woke me up in the middle of the night and told me to get out unless I want to pay $300 a night. I was right in the middle of a good dream, so I gave them my credit card and went back to sleep. Thanks, Travel Out of Luckity.
No, thank you. TravelOutOfLuckity.com. Book your reservation over and over again today.
Crazy talk.